This is Tobor. Tobor, the telesonic robot. Batteries not included. He's under your control. With a click from the telesonic commander, to circle, to proceed forward, to circle, or to pick up the support module and return, all on your command. Tobor is robot spelled backwards. Tobor, the telesonic robot from Shopper.
Greetings. Welcome to the second half of the holiday episode of Pretentious Internet Theater. I am your host, Andrew Cook. That years ago I wrote a movie on Julian Assange's life and it was called Tomorrow Never Dies. At any rate, let's get to the second half of this Christmas present I have for you. Of course, it reminds me of a quote. It's by Norman Vincent Peale. Christmas waves a magic wand over this world, and behold, everything is softer and more beautiful, and certainly I can't think of anything more beautiful than a Teen Titans Christmas written by Jeet Jeet. And of course, as a reminder, you can always email this podcast at thepitpodcast@gmail.com should you have any story requests or Christmas cards to send me. But now, on with the second half of A Teen Titans Christmas. Enjoy.
Chapter 5. This isn't a chapter. Well, I'll just skip that then.
No, I have to read it. Chapter 5.
Author's note. This isn't a chapter. This is something I made up in my head, and I don't want to lose it. Think of it like an intermission or something. Thanks. I don't own anything. The 12 Teen Titans Days of Christmas. On the first day of Christmas, the Teen Titans sent to me a tower in the shape of a T. On the second day of Christmas, the true love sent to me two Spanish twins and the tower in the shape of the 3T. We're just skipping ahead now. I mean, yeah, this might be cheating here. Hold on.
Just leave the bottle. Okay.
On the 12th day of Christmas, the Teen Titans said to me, 12 boxes of pizza, 11 stings from Bumblebee, 10 energy arrows, 9 hours of underwater breathing, 8 days of meditating, 7 daily booyahs, 6 game controllers, 5 teen superheroes, 4 painful starbolts, 3 boomerangs, 2 Spanish twins, and the tower in the shape of a T. Hope you liked it. And if you don't like the fact that I skipped through, you can just rewind and there you go. The stuff I do for you people in this podcast. Oh, this is chapter 5. Last one really was an intermission. Chapter 5. Christmases. You were mine. Author's note.
I don't own anything. How many times do I have to say it?
Robin sat in his room, just thinking and trying to get a conversation with Raven, but he couldn't get a word. He kept trying and trying, but no Raven's thoughts. The other Titans are worried about him. He never came out of his room, not even when an alert came. The others just asked the Titans East to take care of the trouble, because they couldn't fight without Robin. One day, Starfire just walked into Robin's room to get some explaining out of him. "Robin, I brought you some breakfast," she announced.
"Not hungry, but thanks," Robin replied. Star frowned.
"But I brought you the greased bacon and the fried eggs, even juice made of oranges you must eat," she tried, urging the tray with delicious breakfast on top of it. The aroma, she hoped, would persuade him, but he still made no conversation. But he was hungry, so all he said was, "Just leave it on the table, I'll eat it later." "As you wish," she replied with a sigh.
After she put it on the table, she walked towards the door and left.
"But he does not wish to talk,"
she announced to the other Titans with a sigh. "Of course he doesn't," Beast Boy yelled. "Do you still have the tray?" Cyborg asked with bright eyes and rubbing his hands together. Starfire shook her head. Cyborg just hung his and sadly drank his eggnog.
"Oh, no.
I feel that Robin will die of his emptiness of Raven," Starfire said. "He's just being selfish. He'll move on," Best Boy said. "But his love for Raven is very strong. Obviously stronger than for me. Let's just blame puberty," Beast Boy suggested. "But this puberty is not the problem. This will hold to Raven as making him weak. But if he did love her, why didn't he just leave yet to go find her?" Cyborg said while taking a breath from chugging his eggnog. "Maybe it's we are still part of this team, and he can't leave us. But he hasn't been doing anything. We can't fight without him. We were relying on the Titans East with no problem," Beast Boy yelled. "Then we'll just ship the dude to New York, get the Raven back," Cyborg yelled back. "Yeah, would be if he never comes back. Would if he'll just stay here with her and forget about all us," Beast Boy yelled back. "Then we will make him get over her. Robin and I shall go on a date tonight, and that might help," Starfire suggested, and the others seemed to agree. Starfire was about to knock on the door, but he opened it. "Oh, hello, Robin, I was wondering," Star said, blushing, and then Robin finished her sentence. "You want to go on a date?" he asked. Apparently, he was trying to forget Raven. "Oh, yes," she answered with a red face. "All right, I'll get you at 7. "Okay." Even though they both live in the same place. When the two went back to the main room, "Robin, decided to get your life back?" Beast Boy asked. "You want to get some pizza?" he asked. "Yes," Cyborg decided, putting down the 3-gallon of eggnog he downed. They all got their coats and went outside. As they were walking, BB and Cy were having a small snowball fight between themselves. Starfire clung to Robin, meaning that what it was meant to be. They got to the pizza parlor. As usual, Cyborg and Beast Boy were arguing on deciding between pepperoni and tofu as their topping. "Dude, vegetarian here. That explains the sickly green color. Hey!" As they kept arguing, Robin and Starfire was flirting with each other. Suddenly, giant TV screen that was in front of the pizza parlor caught Robin's attention. "The concert here has spread all the way to New York among the legendary Raven. She sang my grown-up Christmas list and has brought tears to everyone that listened." It then showed Raven singing. Robin seemed to be glued to it. "They are extending the concert to a competition which includes Jump City, so get your pipes ready because New York is ready for us with Raven as their sad." "Raven!" Robin got her image in her head again. He almost forgot about her, but her image was only like a dream, and he still seemed to ignore it. Suddenly, a huge flash came and people were screaming. There was also a voice seeming to say, "Time to light out the place!" It was Dr. Light. Ho-ho, and we know what he does to the people you love, so. Titans started to attack, but they were struggling. "Raven, attack!" Robin yelled. He wanted her to scare him. There was no scared doctor, huh? Robin was then blasted. Fortunately, the Titans East showed up and kicked his butt. "Thought you could use some help, Sparky," Bumblebee said to Cyborg. They all made conversation except Robin. "What's wrong with him?" Speedy asked BB. "He misses Raven. He has the sick hold on her and it's bringing all of us down." "Why did she leave?" "Well..." BB saw Star glaring at him. "Long story." Speedy just shrugged and walked off with the other Titans East members. The Teen Titans went back to the tower. It was 6:45 and almost time for Starfire and Robin to go out. Starfire got knee-length red and green dress. She wore red high heels and elbow-length white gloves with red sparkles on them. Robin just wore a tux. First, they went to go see the musical The Christmas Carol. As the ghosts of Christmas Past, Present, and Future visited Scrooge, Robin felt like he was taken back and forward, too. You know, like the story from last year. Except it was around Beast Boy, which we've already established that he celebrates Hanukkah. When the ghosts of Christmas Past visited him, he thought about Raven and him together. Everything was all right. When it was present, it was him and Starfire while Raven was in New York. In the future, Robin forgot all about Raven, and it showed Raven pleading for him as she was dying. Robin gasped at these thoughts, but he still ignored it. After the play, they went to a party. They found themselves under the spotlight. slow dancing. After, they chatted under the mistletoe. Robin, are you still missing Raven? Starfire asked. A little bit. But what I really miss the times we spent together. Really? Yeah. I really do love you. Robin was lying to her and to himself for selfish reasons. He really loved Raven, but he didn't want to think about her. Oh, Robin, Starfire laid her hand on his chest. Suddenly, Robin found out that Raven was trying to communicate with him. What's wrong? It's Raven and she's in trouble. We need to go. Starfire flew Robin back to the tower as he started to pack. Starfire sat on the bed trying to talk him out of it. I'm sure she is fine. No, she's not. She's in pain. I heard her. She can fend for herself. She needs me. I need you. And I need her. Starfire gasped. Listen, Star, I'm sorry, but I love Raven. I know I told you I loved you, but I love Raven. I did it so it would be easier to forget Raven, but I can't. I'm so sorry. I need to find her. Star was trying to hold back tears. I should have seen this coming. We're all sick of this pity party that we didn't want to be part of. We're all missing Raven, but you need to let her go. She is happy. No, she's not. You never knew her like I did. I love her, and my whole life revolves around her. You will never understand that. She is my best friend, Robin. Of course I understand. You never understand the pain you have given us. You may love her, but there are other people who love you and need you. If you must, then go find her. Whatever we had, if we ever had it, is over. Starfire walked out to her room. I will bring her back, and you can't stop me. Robin walked out of his room, got on his motorcycle, and drove to the airport. As Starfire saw him drive away, she listened to tea and sang to this. Please take down the mistletoe, because I don't want to think about that right now, because everything I want is miles away in a snow-covered little town. My mama in the kitchen worrying about me. Season's greetings, hope you're well. Hope I'm doing all right. Because if you were wondering, lately I can never tell. I know this shouldn't be a lonely time, but if there were Christmases when you were mine, I'd be doing fine without you, really. Up until the nights got cold. Everyone here except you, baby. Seems that everyone's got someone to hold, but for me, it's just a lonely time. There were Christmases when you were mine. Merry Christmas, everybody. That'll have to be something I just say this year. Bet you got your mom another sweater. Your cousin's late again. When you were putting on the lights this year, did you notice one less pair of hands? I know this shouldn't be a lonely time. There were Christmases when I didn't wonder how you are tonight, because there were Christmases when you were mine. You were mine. Starfire then fell asleep on the seventh day before Christmas. 2 hours before, Raven was on the telephone with Sarah. She was still at the hospital because of her burns and infections on her marks her old stepdad left. Raven was on a new couch in the new apartment because the old one burned down. She was chatting and laughing with the 11-year-old about how they murdered her father. Raven was perfectly happy. Well, at least that's what she says. She was feeling lonely. Sarah wasn't with her, and memories of Robin were just haunting her. Suddenly, there was an explosion and screaming outside. What's up? Sarah asked her. Time to do my job. See ya. Raven hung up on her friend and went outside. There was Jinx, making fires and buildings fall. Stop, or you'll be the one coming down next. Azareth Metron Zithos. Raven made a building almost collapse on Jinx, but she dodged. Oh, hey, Raven, how's Robin doing? Jinx taunted her, while making a bus almost run over Raven. Raven glared at her, using her telekinetic powers to crush the bus. Jinx realized that Robin's powers lose control when she gets angry, so she kept taunting her. Tell him I said hi for you. He was too busy making out with Starfire. Shut up! Raven catapulted icicles at her, but Jinx did a cartwheel and missed them. He never mentioned you. Also, that kid Sarah, she's struggling. I guess it's because you never visit her anymore. I'm busy. With what? Feeling bad for yourself and missing Robin? I guess she feels neglected. You know, Jinx has a point. Raven was then lifted in the air, heavy objects spinning in a funnel around her. Shut up! Just shut up and leave me alone! Raven realized her control was leaving. How are you going to shut me up? Turn into a raven and rip me to pieces? Too bad you can't do that with your memories. Even if you could, they'll never go away. No! Raven's raven self took shape, but fizzled away. We'll be in touch. Bye, Ray, and Merry Christmas. Jinx then cackled and ran away. Raven gained control again, came back to the ground. She started to cry. As her tears fell, she realized she needed to see Sarah. Raven got to the hospital.
and demand to see Sarah, but the doctor said she can't see anyone. She's very close to dying. She said she caught pneumonia. Is very sick. When Raven heard the news, she went back to her apartment. She laid on her bed, trying to communicate with Robin through mental chat. Robin, please help me. She kept trying to get a word, but no cigar. She fell asleep. Fear hung in her mind that cold December 18th.
Done with, chap. I know it's sad, but it'll be a happy ending, I promise you.
Chapter 6. Girl of My Dreams.
Why do these people do this to me? Can they read? Help me sound it out. I don't own anything.
5 days before Christmas, and no word from Robin or Raven. The game station broke for Beast Boy. Star was as sad as ever, and the worst, as Cyborg said, they were on a big knock. Oh, no. Robin wasn't there to pay for more. Best Christmas ever, right? Oh, for crying out loud. Here's how you make eggnog. Take 6 eggs, 3 cups of milk, 8 tablespoons of sugar, 3 teaspoons of vanilla essence, and 1/2 teaspoon of nutmeg ground. In a large bowl, beat the eggs with an electric beater. Add in the milk and sugar and continue beating until the mixture thickens slightly. Add in the vanilla essence and ground nutmeg. Cover with plastic wrap and refrigerate until chilled at least 3 hours. That serves 8, but if you're having more Titans, you may want to up your quantities. Star promised Jump City that she would compete for the concert, but she needed to sing another song. They also picked the song, which was Where Are You Christmas, which was perfect for her feelings, but at the end of her song, it's all happy again, which isn't so perfect. She still promised, and a promise is a promise. But she remembers promising and lying to Raven and getting over Robin. That moment still haunted her mind, along with seeing Robin leave on his R-cycle through her icy window, singing a sad song. Robin was on the plane to New York. She was so worried about his team, and especially Raven. She thought about an image. She heard Raven dying of sadness. Of course, freaked, and left the tower, without a thought. Which I thought he acted like a jerk, but it's your opinion. Raven called the hospital every 1/8 of a second. She was so scared for Sarah. She thinks it's her fault for killing her, but being neglected for feeling sorry for herself. Raven didn't know what to do. She didn't have a communicator, and the hotel was charging extra for calling from the phone too much. Mental chat doesn't do anything. Everything was miserable. Sapphire sat in her room, staring through her window, hoping she'd see a boy with spiked hair and a cape riding a motorcycle coming back, but no luck. One morning, she stayed in her bed for longer than she usually does. Beast Boy went to do his job as a human alarm clock, only louder, more annoying, and worse. There's no snooze button. Starfire knew what was coming and was prepared. She had 5 layers of pillows on each ear and was ready for action. As Beast Boy yelled his annoying alarm, Starfire held those pillows as tight as she could while shutting her eyes as tight as she could. When BB realized she wasn't coming out, he tried even harder, but no Star. He kept trying until she cracked. She shot starbolts from her eyes, through the door, and straight through burning BB to a crisp. She walked out, staring at the burnt Beast Boy on the floor. "You should get up, friend. It is the morning," she said proudly to him. She entered the main room. She eyed the cyborg, trying to find 1 drop of eggnog, but no luck. She sighed and went to eating breakfast. Beast Boy then entered the room, with burnt marks on his face and him glaring at Star. "What happened to you?" Cyborg asked him, trying to hold back laughs. "Nothing much, man. Things just got a little hot." He answered, with anger in his voice. Cyborg and Starfire were both trying to hold back the giggles. BB just grunted and went back to playing video games. Suddenly, the phone started to ring on Cyborg's arm. "Dudes, shut up! Hello!" Cyborg yelled. That caught the others' attention, even if their shut-up wasn't necessary, because they were quiet as a fly. Well, maybe not as quiet as a fly with all the buzzers and stuff, but they were quiet. The person Cyborg was talking to was the mayor of New York, New York, saying they needed to be at New York City for the concert there on December 23rd, which means they need to get going. Cyborg hung up and told the others the news. We are going to New York, y'all. Dudes, is this for real? Beast Boy asked. They need us at the concert by tomorrow. Shall we see Robin and Raven? Starfire asked with hopeful eyes. Who cares? We're going to NY, BB yelled, while sprinting to his room to get packed. We might, Star. Fortunately, the news left us her address for her hotel room, and Robin still has his communicator. Cyborg answered Star's question. All right. The two went to their rooms to pack. Star was so hoping she could see their faces again. She was hopeful enough to hope that Robin would want her back. But there is a 99.999999999% chance that's not happening. The three got in the T-car and drove to the airport. Along the way, Cyborg got a call. It was Robin, with Raven. Yo, Robin, where you been, man? Cyborg asked. Robin, Starfire asked, almost sure her ears were deceiving her. Hey, guys, I miss you, but I've got Raven back, and we're going to meet you at the concert. Starfire was so happy. She started to cry. Almost everything was back to the way it was.
5 hours before.
Robin finally got on a long plane ride to NY. He got a taxi and drove towards Raven Hotel. Then he remembered something. Stop! I need to go somewhere first. Robin yelled at the driver. Fine, but more driving mean more pay. The driver yelled back. All right, just get me to the Children's Hospital in New York. You've got it! The driver started to make his way towards Broadway. When they got there, Robin quickly got out and paid the driver and told him to wait. Robin sprinted to the hospital and headed up to the front desk. He started to talk to an old plump woman about Sarah. He pointed out and ran to her room. When he came in, there were paper snowflakes on the walls and get-well cards on her table. There were also cookies and a candy cane on it, too. Sarah was sleeping and pale. Robin walked up to her. Assuming this was the girl that was Raven's friend, she woke up and stared at Robin, who was just standing over her. You're not Raven, she said to him with a frown. I know I'm not, Robin answered. You're the one who ripped her heart out, which made her rip out mine. Sarah's eyes turned red, and her hands turned into fire. I know, he yelled, trying to keep her calm. I know I did. I came to apologize. Kinda apologizing at the wrong time and to the wrong person. I want to say sorry for making Raven hurt you, for feeling sorry for herself and neglecting you. Really? But if it weren't for you, she wouldn't have saved me from my dad, so thank you. Robin bent down and hugged the fragile but powerful 11-year-old. These infections are getting worse. I may not last long. You'll be fine. But even if you do go, I'll always remember you, and Raven will too. She smiled and blushed at a boy said that to her. But then she got down to business. So, how are you going to get her back? She asked with a serious voice. What? Of course. You came here to get Raven back. And your groove. Like Stella. Yes. So, how are you going to get her back? Wait, before you answer that, please don't tell me that you're going to beg and plead like a 3-year-old begging for a new toy. Well, Robin scratched the back of his neck. It's going to be harder than I thought. She sighed in frustration. All right. I think I have a song for you. Go to my CD player over there and go to track 5 and press play. Robin nodded and walked over to a small boombox on the table. He went to track 5 and press played as she ordered. When he listened, he was overwhelmed. He can't sing. He can't play guitar. And worse, it was the Jonas Brothers. Arthur's note, I have nothing against them. It was just a joke. Are you serious? He pleaded Sarah not to say yes. But of course she said yes. I can't do this. I have to do something else. No, this is how you get girls back. You stand under their house or room, bring out a guitar, yes, a guitar, and sing. Even if you can't sing, it's even better because they know that. You did it because you love her. But I can't play guitar. You'll pick it up and start practicing. Robin didn't move. Now! Robin quickly grabbed the guitar on the corner and started to play. You gonna teach me or not? Are you kidding? She looked at him as if he had lobsters crawling out of his ears. Go Christmas Story, awesome movie. But the reason I have this is because I knew you were coming. I have no idea how to play that thing. Just listen to it and try to play the notes. Robin played the music with a frown. And Sarah started to snore. Apparently, Robin was a good guitar player and singer. After a few hours, Robin left, leaving Sarah snoring and drooling, hanging out of her bed. Robin just chuckled and left the building. Of course, the taxi was gone, so he walked with the guitar from Sarah's room. When he got to her hotel, he threw a pebble at Raven's window balcony. Raven stepped out and saw Robin throwing them. "What are you doing here?" she asked him. "To clear something up." Then he picked up the guitar and sang, drawing a lot of attention. "This Christmas time, there's just one thing I want. Tops them all, it's better than eggnog. It's cold outside, my boots are full of snow. I'm just hoping for some mistletoe. You can take these presents underneath the tree. You can take this awesome scarf my grandma made for me. You can take these boxes tied up with string. Because all I want for Christmas is the girl of my dreams. Lights are going up, it's Christmas time. Just want that girl to be mine. The stocking's full, but I'm not satisfied. No, 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 no. I just wait till she's by my side. I've saved these presents underneath the tree. Take this awesome scarf my grandma made for me. Take these boxes tied up with string. Because all I want for Christmas is the girl of my dreams. Fa! La-la-la, la-la-la. Fa-la-la-la. You can take these presents underneath the tree. You can take this awesome scarf my grandma made for me. I would give it all just to let you see that all I want for Christmas is the girl of my dreams. You can save the presents underneath my tree. You can save this awesome scarf my grandma made for me. I would give it all so you could see all I want for Christmas is the girl of my dreams. Raven laughed the whole time listening. She started to cry, for the tears that fell were the tears of joy. The crowd was cheering for him and going, aw. Raven flew down from the balcony. She ran up to Robin. "I can't believe you came for me." "It was worth it," he smiled, bent down, and kissed Raven passionately, hoping it would never end. At the end of their lip lock, Robin told the other Titans the news. So he kisses and tells. Robin got in his own room and slept there for the night. For once, everyone was happy the night. But a thought still hung in Star's mind, and that thought was Willis' happiness last. Arthur's note.
"I am done with Chap. Only two to go. I will still update that on Christmas Eve. Though, if you have a problem, please let me know. Thanks again. Happy holidays."
A Teen Titans Christmas, Chapter 7. Where are you, Raven? Arthur's note.
"Yo, peeps! I just figured out I'm not going to be home this Christmas, sad face. So I'll post the last chapter, which is after this chapter, and it will be short a few days before I leave on the 23rd of December. But I recommend you read last chap on the 24th of December. BTW, this will be the last chapter, will be short. Okay, I should shut up now and let you read. Don't own anything, I repeat, but I don't want to because it's annoying, so I won't."
For once, it was a silent and peaceful night on the 22nd. Robin slept peacefully in his apartment, a bright smile on his face, and he dreamed of some soon Christmas time coming. Raven slept in the room next to Robin's and was sleeping also with a smile. She was strangely, for Raven, dreaming about sugar plum fairies, a dancing nutcracker, and snowmen living in a gingerbread house. It was the weirdest dream, even for the girliest of girls. The other Titans were still on the plane and were sleeping too. Beast Boy drooled as he slept and seemed to say, "Don't leave, Frosty," as he dreamed of a dancing snowman constantly chanting happy birthday. Cyborg was cuddling his special eggnog mug and a saying that said, "You know how this Christmas is all about giving and sharing? Well, this eggnog is mine! Don't touch it!" And that's exactly how Cyborg felt about eggnog. Starfire was the only one not sleeping. She stared out the window, watching proof of a white Christmas. It seemed that if you look closely, you could actually see those fancy patterns that you see on the paper snowflakes. As the flakes danced itself to the ground, Starfire had been thinking. You see, she'd been having weird thoughts lately. Like, is anything if this is for real or not? And no, this is not Kingdom Hearts, and she is not Sora. She'd been wondering if Raven and Robin were actually coming to see her. Which is funny, because she's flying to go see them. Maybe Raven would die at the last second, and Robin would have to just leave at the last second. Maybe they would run away together, not looking back. What if BB only went out to see the sights and ignore her? Would if Cy ran out of Negnog and left to get more? Would if they didn't care about her anymore. But they always care for her. Starfire was probably one of the most popular Teen Titans. She was beautiful, thin, very joyful and caring. Why would anyone ignore her? She's not tubby. Why, if she were ugly and tubby, she'd get ignored. But she's beautiful and thin. Which brings the question of why did Robin pick her? I had him first. Why can she just steal him? But still, if she really loved Robin, she would just let him go. Maybe she would be happy with BB. She turned and glanced at him. He was drooling and snoring in the grossest way. Starfire shuddered at the thought and looked back out the window and didn't consider Cyborg because he's smart enough not to get in their business, really. Then she called Robin tons of times to see if he was really coming. He would always reply, of course, and then go back to sleep. She then decided not to bother him anymore. He got to sleep. Who knew what was going to come? Looks like Starfire would have to figure it out herself. Raven woke up, happy as ever. Again, she was acting so weird for her. That could be Beat, the most Christmassy person in the world by a mile. She got dressed in her elf suit, and of course wore her black nylon leggings. Her boots were furry, and were a dark red. Her coat was a bright green. She brushed her teeth and walked to Robin's room. As she walked in, there was trash all over. The couch was a mess, the kitchen a disaster, and there was Robin lounging on the couch in a stained t-shirt, worn jeans, and was drinking a glass of apple cider while watching the Christmas special, A Christmas Story. Just as Santa was about to kick Ralphie down the long red slide, which was after Robbie blurted out what he wanted, gave a cheesy smile, then dropping his mouth after Santa said the classic, "You'll shoot your eye out, kid." Raven tapped on Robin's shoulder, which Raven had a red face that matched her outfit, which is not good. Robin stared up and down Raven with wide eyes. "Have you been attacked by Rudolph?" he asked. Raven just ignored him and yelled, "Why are you such a mess? Why is this place a mess? Starfire kept calling me about the concert and didn't give me any sleep." Raven just slapped her forehead and shook her head. "Go get dressed, please." "No, this is my fae part. It's when Mom and Dad are having a fight about the lights on the tree and who's colorblind or not, even though that takes place before the Santa scene. Can't I just watch it?" "No!" Raven then used her power to lift Robin, drop him in his room with a painful thud. "I'm just going to keep pushing you back in there if you try to escape without proper clothes." "Oh, come on, Ray." But still he got dressed. Came out rubbing his bum. "You know, you could have dropped me from a lower height. Or just not dropped me at all. Need to get rid of you fast. You stank more than a skunk." "Good point." Raven then explained the plan for the day. "Okay, so first we'll have some breakfast. Then we'll do some last-minute Christmas shopping. Then we'll have some more eggnog. You know, Cyborg. Then we'll have to go back to the hotel and have some lunch and rounds for a few hours. Then we'll go to the concert. And after we'll get some dinner and more eggnog. You know, Cy would finish it before. Then we'll head home. We should be home by around 10:30 p.m. When we get home, we prep for the next day. And I don't know, sing some indoor Christmas songs on the piano. We'll go to bed. What do you think?" "I think you've been rainwashed by Buddy the Elf." Raven glared at him for that rude comment. "Let's just go," Robin said, trying to recover. Raven just rolled her eyes and walked out with Robin. The two went and got breakfast and then went shopping. Then they walked back to the hotel. They had tons of stuff. They were really heavy. Luckily, Raven was telekinetic. She got them to Raven's room with no problems. Two were just watching the rest of the Christmas story. So suddenly, there was an explosion outside and screaming. They both ran outside to find Jinx again. "Hey, Ray, how's..." Then she saw Robin standing, in fighting stance next to Raven. Robin, Jinx was hoping to taunt and finish Raven off. But looks like it wouldn't work anymore. Robin then drop-kicked Jinx, which landed a painful thud. Raven threw a painful piece of sharp asphalt at her, but missed. The fighting went back and forth, with no proof of anyone winning. Suddenly, Robin threw some bombs at Jinx, which made blind. "Can't see!" And she spread her pink. Bad luck power all over. Raven put a shield around herself, so the power of pink didn't affect her, but it did Robin. He was under a pile of heavy rocks and not moving. Most of his bones snapped, and there was a bruise that was huge on his neck. Jinx cartwheeled away and escaped. Raven ran over and started to weep. "Robin, don't die! Please don't die! Azeroth, Menthon, Zinthos!" She cured all of her bones. But he had a huge cut that was bleeding fast. He was still alive, but unconscious. Raven got Robin's communicator and called BB and Cy to see if they could help. Hopefully the concert didn't start yet. But of course it started, and Star was about to go on. Sai and BB were standing in a crowd. Then Sai got a call from Ray. Look, B, it's Ray. Sai started talking to her. Her voice was all choked up. Every once in a while, she would just bawl her eyes out. Why aren't you at the concert? We got in a fight with Jinx, and Robin is lying here. She cried her eyes out here. Robin is dying. You need to get here. I have a first aid kit, so get here now. Can't you heal, though? Yes, but it only cured his bones. He has a large cut with a very big amount of blood falling. Need to get here now. Star is about to go on. I can't leave. Don't worry, I'll get you here. Adareth, this on thisos. Sai and BB left in a blink. Got Robin in a second. Found Raven crying next to the unmoving Robin next to her. BB went to comfort her. As Sai got a bandage and put it on the cut, they got the rocks off him and woke him. Raven then kissed him constantly. She was so relieved after their love fest. They realized Star was singing right at that moment. They're late. Raven, for some reason, couldn't teleport them back. I guess it's a one-time deal for one destination, but not back. They're not gonna make it. Spoiler. Half an hour before, Star was about to go on stage. She was really hoping the Titans didn't ditch her. They're cheering her on. When she got on, she didn't see them anymore. They did ditch her. She tried to hold back tears. She whispered, "No, where is Sai, BB, Robin, Raven?" Her singing was all choked up, and it went like this. "Where are you, Christmas? Why can't I find you? Why have you gone away? Where's the laughter you used to bring me? Why can't I hear music play? My world is changing. I'm rearranging. Does that mean Christmas changes too? Where are you, Christmas? Do you remember the one you used to know? I'm not the same one. See what the time's done? Is that why you have to let me go?" Starfire was about to sing the next part, but that's when she finds Christmas, which didn't happen. Her friends are gone. To her, the spirit of the season disappeared. She put the microphone to her lips and said, "I'm sorry, you should be happy while singing this, which I am not. I am sorry." Everyone gasped as Starfire turned. Suddenly, she heard the words being sung by someone familiar. She couldn't see them, though. Starfire started to frantically look. The mysterious singer sang, "Christmas is here! Everywhere! Oh! Christmas is here, if you care! Oh!" Raven then stepped out with the microphone and, with a smile, everyone gave her a standing ovation for the forgotten Raven of Jump City. Jump coming forth. Star's eyes brightened full with joy. She ran up to Raven and hugged her as tight as she could. "I present singing a duet with me, Raven." The crowd cheered as loud as they could, but then quieted down to let them sing. The two then sang in harmony this. "If there's love in your heart and in your mind, it'll feel like Christmas all the time. I feel you, Christmas. I know I found you. You'll never fade away. The joy of Christmas stays here in silence, fills each and every heart with love." Where are you, Christmas? Fills your heart with love. This whole crowd cheered as loud as ever as the two friends hugged each other so tightly they were in tears, for seeing each other's face again after so long was the only thing they wanted, except Robin, for Christmas. The other Titans stepped out from the curtains and gave the others a huge group hug. They then faced the crowd to make a bow to the crowd. Everyone then stood up and clapped, yelled, and cheered even louder than before. Everyone had a smile on their face with a hint of giggling. Finally, the loudness stopped. They all got their luggage and checked out of the hotel. Wow. Then the Teen Titans finally reunited, flew home on a plane. For all had the smile because when they get back, it would be the night of Christmas Eve, which everyone was waiting for. Author's note.
Yay, done with chap. Now one more to go. But you may have to wait a while to read the next last one. Happy Holidays!
Chapter 9, A Christmas Eve Ending with Chestnuts. Author's note.
Hey, guys! This is the last chapter, and it will be short. About that review that said it would be a good ending, I don't think I can promise anything. So I'm planning to make it less than 1,000 words, but if it is more, it'll be a small amount. Oh, and sorry about every typo I've ever made. I swear, I made at least one typo in every chapter, so yeah. So, hope you enjoy. Since it's Christmas time, Raven, hurry it up, Jeet. I want to finish this already. Starfire, I like this story, friend Raven. But this, what you call commentary, or starring as well, what you say, is annoying. Which is exactly what you're doing, by the way. Why are you talking when I'm talking? Aren't I telling the story? Just let me finish the intro. And say, you know what? Why don't you say it with me? Raven, no, it's so annoying. Come on, it's Christmas time. Starfire, let's do it, friend, for Jeet. Raven, fine. 1, 2, 3, I do not own anything. Enjoy.
So, Raven and Robin and the rest of the Titans got home as tired as ever. But of course, it's Christmas Eve, so they stayed up to drink some hot chocolate and sing carols round the piano. Then they all lived. Wait! That's the stupidest ending I've ever heard. Beast Boy sprang up from his armchair to make a comment, a rude one, about my ending. Are you serious? They all lived happily ever after? That's so dumb. You really can't make up a better ending? As I said before, I am telling it. I then glanced at Star and Raven. They shrugged and giggled a bit. But I am one of the characters. Shouldn't I have a say in this? Beast Boy then turned around looking for nods, but instead found confused faces, because they know what would happen if they agreed with Beast Boy. Why don't we sing some Christmas carols around the piano, Robin suggested. Okay, but do not make me wear the stupid elf suit, Raven yelled, not exactly as cheery as the day before, and then glared at Cyborg. He seemed to put his eggnog mug in front of his face, I guess to hide it from the fiery eyes of Raven. Please, what is this piano? Starfire asked as someone gathered around it. It's an instrument using a hammer. Side of it to hammer keys, Robin answered. So if these keys are being hammered, wouldn't people not get in their houses? Starfire asked, confused as possible. Everyone groaned about Starfire taking everything literally. Okay, who's gonna play? Sai asked. Suddenly all eyes pointed straight at me. Wonder who that could be? I started to look around, hoping they didn't mean me. Even though I knew they did. Come on, guys, I suck at playing. And I know someone here has a voice recorder. I looked at Beast Boy. He seemed to whistle the cover up. Come on, Jeet, it's Christmas Eve. And you do know what will happen if you don't get your butt up here now, girls. Raven and Starfire smiled with a nod at Raven. Then they started to walk towards me. I started to sink in my armchair, trying to stay away from the superheroes coming to fetch me. Raven used her power to shut my mouth from screaming, and Star used her alien strength to push me to the piano without stopping. Everyone was smiling an evil smile as I was dragged to the instrument. I was suddenly in the circle of 5 teen superheroes. Raven let my mouth go, and so did Star. As I tried to escape, Starfire held me back and sat me down in the seat. They knew that I was waving a white flag as I frowned at all of them. Okay, you've got me here. Now what am I going to play? Beast Boy threw a piece of sheet music at my face. When I saw it, I just shrugged. Easy enough, but you have to sing with me, or we'll sit here all night. Sai and BB looked at each other and chuckled. If you don't go to bed, Santa won't come. The two gasped and then said, come on, guys, sing! I laughed, then started to play the intro. Soon enough, it was time to sing. So it went. Chestnuts! Roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping on your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow. Find it hard to sleep tonight. They know Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh, and every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. So, offering this simple phrase from kids to 1 to 92, although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. Okay, all done. I then get up and try to leave, but BB sat me down. Oh no, there's a piano solo. What? Just do it. Santa has to come. He just has to. Whatever. I then begrudgingly played it. As I did in the corner of my eye, Robin and Raven walked off to a huge window. The air chattered at. At first, they just stared at the stars. Then Raven saw a fat man on a sleigh in the sky being pulled by a reindeer. Raven gasped at the sight. "What's wrong?" "Nothing," Raven replied. "Is that huge star there?" Robin then pointed to a very bright star in the distance. "Wow, that's beautiful. So speaking of wishing stars, what exactly did you ask for Christmas?" "It's silly." Raven blushed and looked away. "Fine, I'll just read your mind." Raven blushed even more as she said mentally, "You." Robin's eyes bulged. Then he blushed too. "But now I just want everyone to be happy. I don't want Star to be sad because of us. She did have you first, and I only got you because I asked for it. That is the stupidest reason for why I love you. I've always loved you. The only reason I loved it in stars because people expected me to. But now I know they don't, and I went to you. The only reason I kissed stars because I needed to feel better. I can't stand anyone on our team feeling bad." So I guess he'll be kissing Beast Boy later. "But isn't Starfire still jealous?" They then looked at Starfire, smiling at them. A happy smile, not covering up for jealousy or sadness. She was a voyeur. "Guess not. So, looks like my real Christmas wish came true. But I have one more," Robin said, smiling at Raven. "What's that?" Robin bent down and kissed Raven passionately. Luckily, there was mistletoe right above them. It seemed as if the Star of Bethlehem grew brighter. The other Titans were all going, "Aw," absolutely ignoring my solo. But then I realized my solo was over and it was time to sing again. "I hate to interrupt the Christmas party between you two, but it's time to sing now." Raven and Robin blushed. They walked over to the piano. Then, BB put a hand on my shoulder, with an arm around Star, with an arm around Psy, with an arm around Raven, and with an arm around Robin. And his hand on my other shoulder singing. "And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92, although it's been said many times, many ways. Merry Christmas to you." After, they all went to bed. Of course, BB and Psy sprinting to their bedrooms. They all slept with a smile on their face, I'm guessing. "And so I'm sitting here now, looking out the window, to see that magical Santa Claus flying through the sky, saying Merry Christmas to all and all good night, watching that bright star of Bethlehem, reminding us what the true meaning of Christmas is. And so as I finish the story, I should probably remember to say what all Christmas stories end with. Before I do, I should mention some tips. Don't stick your tongue to a pole. Remember to say fa-la-la instead of ra-ra-ra. Don't shoot your eye out. Don't sing Baby It's Cold Outside inside a woman's locker room. Remember, it's fragile, not fragile. And of course, remember the true meaning of Christmas is. And if you're Jewish, you don't have to listen to that last one." Wow. So with that said, happy Kwanzaa, happy Hanukkah, and of course, Merry Christmas. Author's note. "And so I'm offering this simple phrase from kids to 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas." Well, certainly was a Christmas tome for the ages, certainly. Whew, Dickens couldn't have written anything any better, I assure you. And so, with that, Pretentious Internet Theater comes to a close. Of course, I'd like to remind you that you can listen to the show on iTunes. So, if you're looking for some last-minute Christmas gifts, you can point people in the right direction to introduce them with this very festive story. Always remember, there is much drama on the internet, but only the best makes Pretentious Internet Theater. Good night. Pleasure is all yours. Have yourself a merry little Christmas.